inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by Chevron. It's proven no gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Welcome once again to Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Great to be with you on a Friday night. Start of the weekend, and no better way to start it than talking Runnin' Rebel basketball, as the Rebels got off to a great start in the season with a victory over Purdue Fort Wayne, 86-71, the other night at the Thomas and Mack in front of a nice crowd, and now getting ready for what will be a much tougher game against the defending Big 12 champs, the Kansas State Wildcats, coming in tomorrow. And we'll certainly spend a great deal of our time with the head coach talking about the Wildcats. That game is tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Curtis and I have all the action for you starting at 12:30 with Runnin' Rebel warm-up. Hi, everybody. I'm John Sandler, along with Curtis Terry and the head coach, T.J. Otzelberger. Great to see you guys. Start of the weekend, which for us means start of work.
Well, we're fired up to be here, so exciting things ahead this weekend.
Kurt, no trouble parking? Pulled right in.
Little bit, but this will be the most excitement I'm going to have on a Friday night in a long time, that's for sure.
Spoken like a true father of two right there. Absolutely. Coach, you had to be thrilled with at least the overall sort of look and feel of the opening game. The victory, after a little bit of a sluggish start, breaking the game open late in the first half, and then kind of taking care of business from there, withstanding in a couple of runs.
Well, I think, until it's for real, it always feels like the dress rehearsal with the exhibition and the scrimmage. And so love to get out there and get that first game under your belt. I was pleased with our guys in terms of how they executed the game plan, the energy and enthusiasm they had defensively. I was particularly pleased with in the first half. There was an 11-minute stretch there where Fort Wayne didn't score a single point. We end the half on a 25-6 run. And so that was the first half we wanted our guys to play. That's what Runnin' Rebel basketball is going to look like. Now I wish we'd carried over a little better to the second half.
Well, just give you something to talk about, I would imagine, after the ballgame. The guys had a nice little celebration for you after the game as well. That was great to see. It was put out on social media. That had to feel good.
It did. No, it was neat. I mean, those guys have worked really hard. We've challenged them. We've pushed them on a daily basis to get outside their comfort zone. And to be in that locker room after that first win is really a surreal feeling, and really enjoyed that night.
Curtis, you and I talked about it. Opening night, always some jitters, always some butterflies and some excitement. It was great to see the guys, I think it was obvious in the first 5 or 6 minutes, but they settled down and they really got after it.
It's as expected. I mean, opening night, everybody's got a little bit of jitters. A lot of the guys, first time with more crowd, more energy, it means something. Like you said, it's real. It counts now. Coach, I'm curious, from your guys getting that out of the way, because it looked like some guys were kind of playing too fast, trying to make a move before they got the ball, seeing how that transpired and played out, what's the takeaway you guys got with those guys the next couple of days leading up until tomorrow, with how they're going to slow down, be more under control, and kind of just play within themselves and not try to do too much too soon, knowing it's an early season?
Yeah, I think that early excitement was certainly there. I think, the first game, guys were getting going a little bit fast and sped up, and that was to be expected. I think, the game, we calmed down a little bit. I think teaching points we really wanted to take away from that, first of all, is starting the second half with a great sense of energy. The first half, the defense is in front of our bench. We can talk them through a lot of things. That second half, we need to generate our own energy. Didn't like the way that we came out and traded baskets with them. That's not what we're going to be about defensively. Need to be a much better team guarding the dribble, guarding the basketball. We talked about that. And so those are some points of emphasis we worked on. I was reasonably pleased because even though we had a few turnovers that I think were a bit careless, I think our guys' intent was trying to make plays for each other. Felt like guys were trying to find each other. There was really some possessions late in the game that stood out to me where Amari Hardy made an extra pass three that we had hit from Eli Long in the corner, and then Eli made a great drift pass to Jonah Antonio for a three late. So those are the type of plays we work on every day, and was thrilled to see those come to fruition late in that game.
Yeah, one of the things we noticed very quickly was how much more efficient the offense is when Eli's on the floor and is directing traffic. And I think that's just an indication of how solid a point guard and an experienced point guard as he is.
Yeah, Eli does a tremendous job. Here he is walking in. Why don't we give a hand for Eli Long right here? There he is. And Bakke Jeng's here as well.
We'll be talking to him a little bit later on.
But no, with Eli, he's a tremendous floor leader. He's got the experience. He's played in NCAA tournaments, coming in from Texas. You know, Eli and I have known each other for a long time, and we have a lot of trust in him. When he's on the court, he gets us organized. He makes sure guys are in the right spot. He's a tremendous floor general. It was a good first game for him, and we know there's more to come.
I think one of the things, Curtis, you and I talked about was the guys are going to have to get comfortable with him as well, because he is so adept at getting the ball in the right spot, maybe without telegraphing that pass, looking at guys. But we saw a couple of no-look passes, a couple of passes behind his head, and not that that's going to be the sort of the standard operating procedure, but guys are going to have to get used to the fact that when Eli's got the ball, they've got to be ready to catch at all times.
The biggest thing, in my opinion, on the court is the point guard position. Obviously, got to be extension of the coach on the floor. And not only is Eli going to have to adjust and learn his teammates and to trust them, and they're going to trust him, but as well be on the same page with you, TJ, in terms of making sure he knows how to run the show, when to push and push tempo and speed it up, when to pull back, and make sure you guys are getting the right looks. With your guys' connection in your history, is there extra focus that you guys are putting on that to make sure you guys are on the same page and so he can relay the message to the troops? Or is it something to where being a senior, a veteran point guard playing in the Big 12, you know you don't have to hound him and be on top of him so much just with what he's done in the past?
Well, I trust Eli 100%. And so there's a lot of times during the game I told him he's always got veto power. If there's something that he sees out there, something that he likes, from my vantage point, I just want to make sure that we're organized. And we can be organized in transition by pushing the ball and keeping it on the move, and we can be organized in the half court, making sure guys are in the right spot and executing. I trust Eli 100%. I've told him last few days, like, anytime you call something out, we're riding with you. We're rolling with what you said, and that's ultimate belief in your point guard.
Yeah, it's something we noticed because there are teams who will, you know, the point guard is bringing the ball up the floor and he looks over and there's 17 cards and 16 pictures and guys making hand signals and lanterns and flares going up and what have you. And it seemed as if there was that was not part of the Rebel coaching staff's behavior, but it was the trust in the point guard and the knowledge of what to do. There was the occasional, hey, you know, adjust this or you got to focus on that. But it really seemed to be a more organic flow than a lot of teams have.
Well, I think, again, we're fortunate to have veteran guards, I think, and guys that it's important to them to win. I think they understand the urgency, and I think for me, I want them to know that I have that trust in them. I don't want them looking over their shoulder. I don't want them constantly looking at the sideline. For me, what are we running? I think those are things we work on every day. I put the trust in these guys. I know they can make the plays. Now we just got to go get the job done.
One of the things that we saw, and I bet we're going to see quite a bit of it, in terms of countering what the Rebels want to do, was when the Mastodons put on just a little token pressure in the backcourt to try to slow things down a little bit. And I thought the guys handled it fairly well, especially in the first half.
Well, I think for us, our approach when we're pressed is going to be that we want to attack. You know, we want to make people pay. And the Mastodons, you know, they kind of backed off. It was, like you said, more of a token pressure. Just wanted to kind of slow us down, our rhythm, our tempo, and so that's something we'll continue to work on and we'll improve upon. But I know as the season moves forward, people are going to feel like when they come press us, they're going to have to pay on the back end, whether it's a soft press or whether they come aggressively, we're going to attack the score.
Curtis, you liked what you saw in terms of the way the Rebels handled the pressure. What are some things that you want to see in terms of that attack and that counter going forward?
You definitely got to fight fire with fire. Make sure that you're attacking them, putting them on your heels, and not playing on your heels. I think a big key for the guys is going to be that leadership and that trust that coach and the coaching staff is putting into them. So that way, like you mentioned, TJ, they don't have to look over to the bench or see if they're going to be coming out to sit in that seat that you were talking about on the bench. Because when they can play carefree and know that if I make a mistake, it's okay. Coach is going to let me play through it and get it back. As a player, you're more confident to stretch it a little bit or to push the lines in a positive way and not play timid. Because for me, when I played, if I was playing timid, I was more apt to make more mistakes because I was playing cautious or playing reserved. And again, I think having veteran guys that have been there and done that, especially at the point guard position, he can rally the troops and know when we've got to get on them, when we've got to slow down, as opposed to someone who's a younger point guard, hasn't been in those situations, may get sped up. And it's a big thing that I saw, making sure that we're just not playing scared and reserved, but let's attack them and take it at them. I know that's obviously something I saw at practice that you guys have been drilling on, and making sure that we're being the aggressor in all situations and not trying to play catch up.
Well, I think there's a psychological effect. The first time a team presses you, that if you can make them pay for it, you kind of put them on their heels right away. It's right. Like they're throwing the jab, you deliver the knockout blow right back at them. I think the same thing when teams go zone. We want to have a mindset of when they go zone, that first possession is incredibly impactful, because if you can attack them and pick their zone apart, get the shot that you want, now they start to question if that's the right thing to do. They're looking over at the coach. Do you want to stay in the press? Do you want to stay in the zone? And now you've neutralized them and taken their confidence. So we try to work to develop that mindset every day. But it's early in the year. Your practice time is limited to what you can work on. It's something we've spent time on, but we'll continue to improve as the season moves forward.
How much importance did you place on just getting into the routine of a regular season game? We'll deal with the road version of that next week, but getting guys ready, coming out and getting loose and the warm-up and all of the different routines that are involved in getting through the basketball game.
Yeah, I think there's so many things that go on that you take for granted in terms of, you know, what time are you at the arena? You know, what time are you getting Thomas and Mack? What's our warm-up plan? When do we come to the locker room? What do we talk about? Who goes out for captains? Then you come in, and it's just getting that flow of that. And then also just being in the flow of games, because now you play. We took a day off. You have 2 days, and then you're preparing and you're playing again. And so I think you get in that rhythm, and that, I think for our guys the last couple of days we've really settled in. I thought their focus on Thursday at practice was as good as we've had all year.
Well, that's terrific.
You could tell they were not settling with, hey, we won the first game, now we can rest on our laurels. They were very focused, and credit to these two guys here tonight with Mbake and Eli, because a big part of that is their leadership.
Well, they are leaders, and we're going to hear from them a little bit later on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the specifics performances that we saw in the opener, and also start to talk a little bit about the Wildcats, because I imagine you paid a little attention to them over the last few days. We'll talk about all of that and more when we return. I want to remind you that U.S. Bank is helping businesses grow, families thrive, and communities succeed here in Nevada and all across the country. U.S. Bank, the power of possible, equal housing lender, member FDIC. You are listening to the Run Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. Tillman drives, kicks the ball in the corner to Antonio. Jonas, three, is good. Dingo!
Dingo was his name.
We're having a little fun with Jonah with his sharpshooting, and the sharpshooting it has been. 5 of 9 from three in the season opener. Jonah with 17 points, one of five players, all the starters in double figures, as the Rebels got the win in the season opener. Now we'll get ready for Kansas State tomorrow afternoon at the Thomas and Mack, 1 o'clock with the tip. Curtis and I have all the action starting at 12:30. Run a Rebel warm-up. And remember, it's a doubleheader. You can stick around. The ladies, Lady Rebels start their season tomorrow against Cal State Fullerton after the Run a Rebels play Kansas State. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, and head coach T.J. Otzelberger here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Talking Run a Rebel basketball. Coach, as I mentioned, all five starters in double figures in the ball game. Jonah shot it incredibly well again. We're hoping that's a nightly occurrence. And you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Jonah last time out and how consistent a worker he is, which translates into consistent performance in games.
Yeah, I think Jonah is a guy that every day in practice he goes extremely hard. When he goes through his shooting workout, he goes at game speed. And so he finds that he's always in rhythm because he always does things the same way. And that's really paid off for him. So his consistency up to this point has been tremendous. Now as we move forward and he's proven the accuracy with that jump shot, teams are probably going to make more and more of a concerted effort to try to take it away, challenge him, deny him catches. And so he's got to be even more ready to get those shots. We've got to be able to take advantage using him in some ways when they do as well.
Curtis, we've been talking about Eli. 11 points, 6 assists, just 1 turnover. And ran things efficiently. You get that from your point guard every night out, you're going to have a good year.
Without a doubt. And it was a calming factor in terms of there was times where we were going through lulls and trading misses, but also trading baskets. Eli got the ball, slowed it down, but there was times where he wasn't forcing it, but he knew he had to make a play. Getting into the paint, drawing defense, looking to kick, but again, at times where he knew he had to finish. To initiate the offense, to get the guys out of that lull. And for me, again, being a point guard myself, having to learn it on the fly after Kevin Kruger left, a lot of pressure is on you. You've got to kind of take it on and be a leader and learn how you got to manage different guys. And what I see from Eli is the demeanor to where he doesn't really get rattled, knows when to settle, when to get on guys, when to make the right play, but not to force it in terms of trying to do too much for the team. And I think that's going to pay dividends for a new group of guys coming together, especially early in the season, so that way they've got a leader to look to at the point guard position. Otherwise, you're kind of just running around with your, like a chicken with his head cut off, so to say. Yeah. But definitely a calming factor there with Eli.
Yeah, one of the stats that, and Coach, I know you're a data guy, one of the stats we get more of now is the plus-minus. And Eli was plus 24 when he was on the floor leading everybody. And I don't know that you can ascribe specific things to that, but it's an indication that the team was performing very efficiently when he was out there running things.
Yeah, it is. It's a credit to him. It's his work ethic, his character, leadership of our team. I think it speaks to a lot of those things. And I mean, Eli's a great player. He can make plays for people. He can finish at the rim. He can shoot the ball. He's very complete out there. And I think you're going to find night in and night out, he's going to be a guy that's really positive in that plus minus because the impact he has on his team.
Amari, his performance, another really solid performance as he makes an adjustment from a guy who had the ball in his hands all the time last year and had the ball dribbling on the floor all the time last year to the system with the half-court ball movement that you teach.
You know, Amari's been really efficient. I've been so proud of him in terms of he's been able to run the wing and attack early in transition. He's been able to take those minutes at the point when Eli's not in the game and be productive there. He's really bought into playing downhill, getting us a paint touch, and then making the play for others, and then getting to the rim because he is truly one of the elite finishers as a guard, getting to the rim at his size. He's got a great knack for doing it. So I've really been pleased with Amari and how he's continued to develop and embrace what we're asking him to do. He's done a great job.
Spacing the floor, from what I saw, you guys run obviously a swing motion. There was a lot of wing pick and rolls. For Amari and Eli getting into the paint, that's going to create opportunities, clearly. With moving the three-point line back at all, how do you kind of see that playing into with your guys? I know Kevin kind of mentioned it where it's not going to be noticeable to the naked eye, but in terms of from a mental aspect, have your guys mentioned it, talked about it, or is it just a matter of get your reps up, knock down shots?
Yeah, I think at this point our guys haven't talked about it a whole lot, but it is a factor as coaches when we design game plans and think about what shots are best for our team. I think for them it's about repping it out. You know, our guys, we want them in there every day. We practice early mornings. We have time carved out for them in the afternoon to get in and get some shots in. I think what you're seeing at the early onset of the season in college basketball is those three-point numbers are, you know, 5 or 6% lower than they were at the same time last year. And who knows how it'll all settle in. We've got confidence in our guys to take those shots and knock them down because we put the time in on a daily basis. Those guys get the work in, and we believe in them.
Did you think Donnie was pressing a little bit, especially early in the game? It took him a little while to kind of get in the rhythm of things.
Yeah, I think, look, for Donnie, I mean, he had four turnovers in the first half, and that's not characteristic of him. He is a matchup nightmare. He's a guy that can get in the lane, knock down shots, make plays. And so, like, for him, there's, you know, he slipped on a couple fluke plays. But we've got all the confidence in the world in Donnie. Again, I think excited. I mean, having lived in Vegas prior to his college days starting and getting out in front of his family and all the fans, and, you know, he was excited. So I think he'll settle in, and we know he's going to be a heck of a player here for us. Does so many things well on the court, such a matchup problem, and just thrilled to have him.
And I think, like you mentioned before, it wasn't a matter of over-dribbling or trying to do too much. It was just a little too excited to make that right play or to attack and put pressure on. He definitely settled down. No turnovers in the second half, and you could see the full development of his game inside, outside, offensively, defensively. He's going to be an important piece. And I talked to him today, and he's still trying to figure out his teammates, he said. He said, just still trying to learn each other, know where people like to get the ball. And I can't stress enough, it's early in the season. We're one game in.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we get through non-conference and get into conference. Guys are going to be excited and really starting to click.
Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and this is a really hard question. But if you get 17 and 17 from Mbaké every night, you're going to be okay?
Well, I think Mbaké, he wanted to be here for the show tonight, so he could promise everybody that that was going to be on the low end of rebounds and points, right?
Ooh. Minimum of 17 and 17 every night. It was so much fun watching him play.
I'll tell you what, he is one of the hardest workers and guys who really wants to be great. He will do anything for his teammates. He will, whatever we ask of him to do, he does it at 100% every time. And so, like, everybody says, well, that was his high in points and his high in rebounds. And even talk about Mbaké at the foul line. You know how much extra time he's put into shooting the basketball and he's worked on that? Like, you can see his hard work paying off. What an impact he makes. I mean, 6 offensive rebounds, 17 boards. I mean, finishing around the rim, ripping the rim down. I mean, he is so impactful, and we are so lucky to have him with us because he's a heck of a player.
You going to apologize to him?
So, Mbaké, what John is trying to say is that I'm responsible for your missed free throw, saying that I jinxed it because I was saying, oh, he's perfect at the line, and then, of course, you step up there and miss.
There's an old term for it, Mbaké. He Kurt Gowdy'd you is what he did, okay? I'll just tell you that.
Very old term there, John, because I have no idea who Kurt
Gowdy is. Well, I'm very old, so it kind of works out. All right, let's turn our attention. It was a terrific start, but a big challenge tomorrow. The defending Big 12 champs, Kansas State, comes to town. And, yes, they are retooling because they lost 3 terrific players off that team. But you know Coach Weber plays a physical, defensive-minded style. They will attack. They will beat you up. And the Rebels have to be ready for it.
We do. I mean, they have a very winning culture in their program. I mean, they have lost some impactful players from a year ago. At the same time, all those guys were used to come to winning practices, championship-level practices. They've been deep in the NCAA tournament. Things you can expect for sure with Kansas State is they're going to screen, be physical and methodical offensively. They really like to slow the pace of the game down. Last year, to end the season, 22 of 23 opponents they held under 70 points to end the year. So they're going to try to make it a physical half-court brawl. They're also a really good offensive rebounding team, and so we've got to limit them to one shot. And it's going to be a great opportunity for our guys. We know it's going to be a physical game. We know that we have a lot of respect for their program. At the same time, they're coming to our house on our floor, and it's about us and being the best version of who we can be. And so even though we have a lot of respect for the program, we know if we play Running Rebel basketball with the intensity, competitive spirit, share the ball, and do what we do, we know we're going to like what happens tomorrow afternoon.
That sounds terrific. You know, I think that that's a theme that I've sensed from you, and you and I have talked off the air a little bit about it. The fact that especially while you begin to build your version of this Running Rebel program and rebuild this program, that the focus on the Running Rebels has to be primary.
It is. I think, first of all, our program that we set, you know, our standard for how we're going to do things, what we're going to do, what are the staples defensively and on the glass that need to be everyday things for us as a program, that's at the forefront. And then for our individual players, that we continue to develop them. We know we have a talented group of guys that can do a lot of things. So it's our team developing together, individuals developing their game. And yes, you know what? We need to be aware of certain things that our opponents do, but we want to continue to improve and get better as the season moves on. That's why we focus on our team.
What are some things that you think the fans should look for tomorrow early on as an indication of how the Rebels are handling the challenge?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's going to be limiting them to one shot. They are going to be very aggressive on the offensive glass, and I think we can do a great job getting them to take the shot that we want them to take. Now we've got to limit them to one shot. That's a huge, huge point of emphasis. You know, for us attacking them, they're going to pick up full court with one guy on the ball and try to shadow the ball handler, Eli, as he brings it up the court. They're going to try to hope that that pressure can be disruptive and slow the game down. And we have to make sure that we get into our offense, that we're strong with the basketball, and we value every possession. And by value it, you know, part of it's not turning it over. Part of it's being really stubborn to make sure that we get the shot that we want. And, you know, the game's going to feel a little different. We want to get out and transition and push and go, and there'll be those opportunities. But they're going to take every opportunity they can to try to slow it down. We've got to be able to play through some of that, stay together, play with passion.
With K-State coming into town, obviously, like you mentioned, you want to give them respect, make sure we know what they're doing so we're prepared, but stay within the walls and focus on us so we can grow. and I'm going to ask Eli this, so I'm curious, but has Eli mentioned to the team and kind of gave them some heads up on what we're in for when we got a Big 12 team coming in, coming from Texas, playing against them, as well as Coach Kevin Kruger? Or is it more so, again, we're not worried about them. We're going to stay within us and not try to make it bigger than what it is, but keep the focus on us internally.
Well, look, Eli and I were communicating yesterday, and, you know, he took it upon himself to watch some additional film. And so we were sharing some thoughts back and forth. He was giving me some ideas. Look, he's a winner. He's played in the league. He knows what it's like to be on the court with those guys. And so his insight to how he feels out there is more important than what I might see on film. And so we're going to encourage him as we've prepared. We're going to encourage him tomorrow. We're going to encourage him through the game to lead his teammates with that information, that insight, how valuable it is. I know he'll do a great job rising to the challenge.
It's date night, huh?
Yeah, kind of. My wife Allison's here in the back, so it's this. I guess it qualifies for date night.
Well, we're gonna let you go participate in date night just a little bit. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna visit with Eli, and we'll finish up with the big man a little bit later on. But Coach, we're excited for tomorrow. I know you want to see a big crowd out there.
We do. You know, we're so grateful opening night and appreciative for the fans that came out. Hopefully, you saw that our guys are gonna play hard for you, that they're going to wear that jersey with a tremendous sense of pride and passion for this program. And we're excited for tomorrow. It's a great opportunity for our guys. Please come out and support these guys. They're working their tail off. They're going to make you proud. Thank you.
Absolutely. Coach, appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow before the game to do pregame. And we're excited to see the Runner Rebels back out on the floor.
Sounds great. Thanks, John.
That's head coach T.J. Otzelberger. We'll take a break. Come back. Eli's going to join us up here. Hopefully his food doesn't arrive at the same time, but we'll get a chance to visit with him. I want to remind you that after the game or any time, you can visit or click Findlay Toyota. Findlay Toyota, the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. Ask for John Barr. He'll do anything to sell you a car. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show, the T.J. Otzelberger Show, from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, Learfield IMG College. Back to Holba. Holba working on Elijah. Lost the ball. Gets it back. Really good physical defense from a smaller Elijah Mitrulong on Holba there. Boy, a lot of contact. Toughness from our point guard. Elijah Mitrulong joining us here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Curtis Terry with you, and the senior point guard for the Runner Rebels joining us. Our first chance to say hi to Elijah. Welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How much fun was it to get out on the floor and play a real game after all the anticipation? You transfer, you get here, you work all summer, you work all fall, and you finally get out on the floor.
It's been a long process. You know, Coach TJ and the coaching staff helped me a lot throughout the summer. I had to take a lot of classes, squeeze a lot of courses in one semester. But once I got out here, he'd always text me, I can't wait till you get out here to get to work. And when I got out here, that's exactly what we did. And I'm thankful and I'm happy.
It's been a road for you to get here,
yeah.
Most recently in Texas. Walk the fans through, if you will, kind of what path from Canada to get to Las Vegas and become a Runner Rebel.
So I lived in Canada since I was 15. I left home when I was 15, went to school in Maryland, Bel Air, Maryland. That was my sophomore to senior year. Then I went to the Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland, a low D1 school, not really too much people know about it. Sophomore year, we had a good run, made it to the tournament, and then went to Texas, sat out that year because I was redshirting, and then I played the following year after that. You know, things didn't go my way, which comes with this game, you know. Can't be mad at anybody else except for yourself. And I just had to see where a better opportunity lies, and Coach TJ hit my phone, and he helped me through the process, and I'm thankful to put on a red shirt and that says UNLV. So,
what was it about TJ, the staff, the opportunity, the whatever it was that made you decide to come to UNLV?
Honestly, it was just honesty. You know, they're being real for me from day one. They told me my position, they told me how important I'm going to be for the team, and they didn't change up. You know, and I think that's a lost jewel in the game now. And if you put a trust in a player, how can a player not put a trust in you? So I think that's the biggest thing that me and Coach TJ share.
And Coach mentioned that trust. Obviously, trust in players. You guys have trust in Coach. How do you feel about your teammates, though, being fifth-year senior, transfer, coming in, playing the point guard position, new coaching staff, and having to rally the troops. How does that make you feel? Is that pressure, or is it like, I've been here before, but I've just got to learn everybody's ins and outs and uniqueness of where they want to be the ball to have the ball to be successful?
That's the second one is exactly what it is. I didn't feel no pressure. You know, I'm very old. I'm older.
Calling you old. You know, I don't know if you got that, but he was.
The one thing, though, I told myself is I got to get to know the guys that are here. You know, obviously the new guys that are coming in are going to have to adapt to me, and I'm going to have to adapt to them, but The most important thing was Bryce, getting to know Bryce, Amari, Mbake, guys that have been here, you know, because this is their school, you know. So I want to be a part of them, and I want to leave and know that I respected their environment, so they're going to respect mine. And when you get that mutual respect for each other, you guys are just going to go to war with each other. So that's what I thought.
The fans in Las Vegas are so passionate and so hungry for a winner. And I think they now understand that they've got the right guy in place with TJ. They've got a great group here to build the foundation. And that it is going to be a bit of a process to get back to where they want to be. But what does it mean to you to be in that foundation, to help return Runner Rebel basketball to national prominence?
It means a lot. You know, I answered that question, I think, a week ago about the foundation. And I don't want to leave this program and not be a part of a foundation. You know, that's the one thing I told myself is that when I leave this program, I want to be known as somebody that helped lay that foundation down. And Coach TJ brought me in here to do that, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to do that. And I'm just happy to be here, you know, and the fans are hungry, and I'm hungry as well. You know, I wouldn't have came here if I wasn't. High expectations, high risk, high reward. So I'm glad I'm here.
One of the things, Curtis mentioned it earlier, and we noticed, was your ability to understand what was happening in the game. There were a couple of times where guys were playing a little bit out of control. Purdue-Fort Wayne was kind of making a run, and you seemed to kind of grab control of the game and say, okay, we need to get back to what we were doing.
Yeah. That comes with experience, you know, and I'm not here to brag or anything, but you just feel it. You know, you feel Purdue-Fort Worth is making every shot off threes, off the bounce, shooting twos, making every shot. So, you know, you gotta slow the tempo down. You got to, like Coach always says, grind them out on the half court so, you know, we run our play and get a good bucket and get a good stop and change the momentum of the game. And I think that's what I was trying to do. And, you know, these guys respect what my words, so when I say it, they'll do it because it's mutual.
That's great.
That's a great answer. I love that. I'm all for that, for sure. for you, because not everybody gets to see you day in and day out. Obviously, yeah. Your teammates do. Are you more of a vocal leader or a – I'll show you how to do it, hop behind me, and let's get it done. What is your kind of style of play on the court?
I'm not trying to be – I think I'm both. You know, I think I'm really both. I kind of sit back and watch, you know what I mean? I watch a lot, and then when I feel like there's a need to be something said, you know, I'll say it. I think I have to put deposits in, though. I can't just come out the gate saying, do this, do that. You have to put deposits in. You know, nobody's going to –
earn their trust, earn their credit.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't come in a new program and say, do this, do that. You got to earn that trust, put that respect in, go in the gym with the guys. And then when you say a word, they're listening. They're not – you know what I mean? So I think I'm a little bit of both, you know. But I do show a lot of, okay, I'm going to work hard. This is how I'm going to work hard. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. Right. So that's one thing. And then when it comes to certain things off the court, then, yeah, I'm more vocal with that.
Was there a moment at some point during the fall where you felt, okay, I can now be the leader of this team? Was there something that happened or something that clicked, or did it just sort of evolve over time?
I think it evolved, but the one specific moment I remember is when Coach was running us a lot. And I remember the guys were – everybody was tired. I was tired, including myself, and – I remember certain dudes were kind of almost breaking. And I remember I told these guys, I huddled them in, and Baka can retweet this himself, huddled them in, and I told them, if we want to win and if we want to change this program around, these are the things where we can't quit on. You know, we got to fight through it. Everybody's tired. And I remember everybody listened. They looked at me in the eyes, and I looked at them in their eyes. And since then, they understood what I'm about, and we just went from there, man. And there's different leaders on the team. I'm not just the only leader, you know, so... That's the biggest thing that everybody on this team knows, that Mbake leads a certain way, Amari leads a certain way that I do, and Jonah, and vice versa, and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, there are a lot of leading type personalities. Sure. Chekne Dembele is one of the stronger personalities, and Chekne, his role on this team is going to be to back up Mbake and provide some physicality at times. But I know he's a guy that all of you are going to respect.
Yeah, talk about vocal.
Yeah.
Man, you come to our practice, you'll hear him 24/7, 365. So, and that's what we need, you know. So,
well, let's talk about Elijah as a person and things. What are some things off the floor that the fans would like to know about you? What are you studying? What outside of basketball do you like to do? Things like that.
Well, I'm studying urban leadership with my guy Vitaly. We're in the same classes, you know, grad school.
Yeah, you're the old man, yeah.
Yeah, besides that, though, I really like drawing. I play Fortnite.
All you guys play Fortnite. But I don't want to hear about that.
Well, besides that, though, I really like drawing, man. It frees my mind. I just like watching a lot of movies. I'm really a homebody. I don't really like going out too much, but... drawing is probably the main thing that a lot of people would...
We'll have to check some of it out, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
When you say drawing, like cartoon characters or like architecture design type stuff?
That's all different types. I have a lot of tattoos, and I draw a lot of my tattoos. It's like, it's just weird things that come to my mind, things I see around the world and I put together, incorporate. I don't know, it's weird. I can't draw faces, but I could draw certain things. I could see, like, if I see something, I could be like, oh, I could draw that. And if I see another thing, I'll be like, I don't think I could draw that, but... it depends, graffiti, if you come by, I'll show you some stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
How's that food, Mbake? You almost done? All right, because I got to tell you, your man up here, when we were just about to go on the air and he brought his food and he just said, I don't know if you can hear it, he said, oh, that looks so good. So we're going to let Elijah go eat his dinner, and we're going to bring Mbake up here to chat just a little bit in a few minutes. Elijah, really appreciate it. Folks, I think the Runner Rebel program on the court is in really good hands right here with veteran point guard Elijah Mitri-Long. Appreciate it. I know we'll get to visit with you later on this season. Go enjoy that food, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you. Thank
or tomorrow
you.
Afternoon. Elijah Mitri-Long visiting with us. We'll take a break, come back, and hear from Mbake. We'll have that for you when we return. You're listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. Bounces the ball left side to Tillman. Tillman comes down the left side. Triple team. Bounces the ball inside to Mbake for a reverse layup. Two of Mbake's 17 points in the game on Tuesday night against Purdue Fort Wayne. Double-double for the big man. He'll be up with us in just a moment. John Sandler, Curtis Terry with you, reminding you, Runner Rebels in action tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock at the Thomas & Mack, Kansas State in town. The Wildcats defending Big 12 champs at the Thomas & Mack. Curtis and I have all the action starting at 12:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. And right afterwards, stick around. Lady Rebels open their season. Kathy Olivier and company against Cal State Fullerton, the Lady Titans, I believe. Right after the Runner Rebel game. So make an afternoon of it. Enjoy some basketball. Ça va?
Ça va, très bien. Merci.
An old friend. Seems like you've been around for a while now.
Yeah.
You're kind of one of the older guys now.
Yeah, I'm like the young veteran, so now.
young veteran, I like it. Yeah. Mbake Zhang joining us. Mbake, as we like to call him, just a pleasure to be around. We got to know him freshman year. Now he's a big old junior, and you looked like you were having some fun out there on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah, just, you know, love to play basketball. Just out, be out there, like, competing, you know, it's just fun.
First basket of the season, little pick and roll, dump off from your boy and a slam. That had to make you feel good.
Yeah, it was feeling great. Like, I was surprised, like, it was wide open. He just, like, threw me that. I'm like, oh, man. It's about to go down.
it did go down.
Yeah.
One of the things we talked about earlier is you and your teammates are going to have to learn how Elijah gets you the ball, because mm-hmm. there were a couple times when he was throwing a pass and you guys weren't ready for it, and it's just a matter of learning and playing together and kind of figuring that out, correct?
Yeah, you know, we all knew to each other, so it was kind of like difficult like in the beginning, but as we move forward, we learn like to know each other, you know how to like play with each other and understand each other. So, and he's a vocal guy, so he talked to us a lot. Like when he sees something that he doesn't like, he will call you and like tell you like, bro, this, and like you need to do this. I'm like, okay, I got you.
That message gets through, and the trust is developed.
Yeah, the trust is developed. Like, you know, he's a great leader. Amari and the other guys, everybody's like been talking, you know. Communication is the key thing for us, like to win more and, like, you know, to be a family. So they're doing a great job of doing that. So, yeah.
And Mbaké, I mean, I love the opening play, feeding the big guy. For all the hard work you do, protecting the basket, rebounding, starting the transition. But not only are you protecting the basket, you're getting the rebound, outletting it, and basically the first guy down the floor. Is that something that coach is demanding of you to do, run to the front of the rim, or is that something that you just like to do because you know you can outrun them with your athleticism and get some easy baskets?
Oh, yeah. Every time, like, before we start practice, before we start even stretching, we're doing, like, first three step in the practice. So on defense and on offense, like, you know, Coach Burke, Coach TJ, Coach Slocum, or Coach Kevin, everybody's like just first three step, like you gotta run. If you can outrun your defender, they can guard you, and like transition will be like easier, and you can get back, set your defense and all that, you know. So they've been doing a great job of making drills that make us run a lot. So yeah, that's pretty good.
One of the things I've noticed early on this season that you've really improved at is not only blocking shots, you've always been a great shot blocker, but controlling the basketball after you block it. It used to be where you'd block it and it would go into the upper deck. And, you know, that's great and all, but the other team's going to get the ball back and, you know, yeah, they can go. But now it seems like you've learned to control that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we've been doing a lot of drills in practice, like jump walling, just like they say you can block every shot, which is true. So you can just like, but you can make them miss. So every time I go to try to block a shot, I just go with two hands and try to just keep it inbound and do my best, you know. So
what did you work on most of all, or what things did you work on most of all between the end of last season and the beginning of this season?
We work on a lot of things. Like, you know, since we got the new coaching staff, we work on a lot of shooting. Like, you know, a lot of moving on penetrations, a lot of free throws. So, yeah, we've been working.
Now, there's no doubt. It definitely shows.
Again, I'll apologize for the free throw. I'll take credit for it. Put the blame on me. But that part of your game, I mean, not only 17 points, 17 rebounds, setting the tone, it fueled the other guys. We were having a slow start, but you being able to make plays defensively and then offensively being impactful without having plays ran for you is something that obviously got these guys going. For you, how fun is it to be able to be a leader after having some experience, but then also having a new coaching staff? Because you kind of got thrown a 180, a curveball with 2 years and then something completely different, a new role. How has your adjustment been with new teammates, but also with a new coaching staff and a new role that you're asked to fill?
It's been great, just like trusting each other. You know, when we are on the court, like, you know, every time the ball is out, like, you see us, like, go huddle, talk about things that we need to do. Like, you know, coach is really on us on like the huddles. Like, he doesn't mess with anybody who doesn't go to the huddle. So just talking, you know, just talking. And my part is just like being the energy guy. You know, I might not be the most talented player, but I can give everything that I have on the court to just like help my team win. So yeah.
Well, we take questions off of Twitter for this show, and I got a bunch of them, and they were all the same question. And I know Coach is enjoying himself, but I want him to hear the question. The question was, when are we going to see Mbaké knock down a three this year?
Yeah, we work on that on the summer too, but it will come with the games, you know. Like, you can't force anything. It just will come with the flow.
I have a feeling. I think that's exactly right, because when you've got a secret weapon like this, you don't want to show it too early. Yeah, you want to wait for the right moment.
You got to wait. You got to hide it a little bit and just, like, you know.
Absolutely. I'm going to show you something. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, last year. I took a picture of Mbaké. He wanted me to take a picture, and a picture on Waikiki standing in the water. You sent that back home,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did send it to my mom.
Yeah, what'd she say?
That was great. Oh, she said, oh, what is that? I'm like, I'm in the middle of the ocean, mom.
So, well, you know, I think we're going back next year to a different island.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for your senior year, we get a chance to go to Maui.
That would be amazing experience, yeah.
Rebels aren't going to win every game, but it seems like this team is together, and it seems like this group, win or lose, and you're going to have ups and downs in the season, it seems like this group has a really good chance of staying together and improving through the year.
Yeah, you know, everybody in this team loves, like, I love everybody in this team work ethic. You know, everybody loves to win. Like, when you talk to them, they only talk about basketball, like how we can get better. Eli, Jonah, Amari, you know, they all talk about, like, man, we need to get this right. We need to get this right. You know, we won last time, but after the game, like in the end of the game, we have a couple like breakdown defense. Eli texted me like at night, you know, telling me like, bro, we need to fix this. So you know, that just shows like how interested he is in like winning.
Well,
like, you know, so it's gonna be a fun year.
How's school going?
It's going pretty good.
He's a good student now. I mean, what are you studying?
I'm studying communication now.
Well, you're yeah. Getting much, much better at it.
Oh,
it's working.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you're doing a great job. And I can't wait. I know Curtis feels the same way. We're excited to watch you continue to grow and improve both on and off the court.
Sir, appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having
me. Merci beaucoup.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Mbake Jong. We'll take a break. Curtis and I will finish things up. When we come back, you're listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. All right, our final segment, wrapping things up on the TJ Otzelberger Show. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, tomorrow afternoon, 12:30, Runner Rebel warm-up, and 1 o'clock with the tip, Rebels against Kansas State. Curtis, one game in. We've seen the exhibition. We've seen the first game. It's exciting. What are you most excited about?
I'm excited to see the guys come out and see how they compete. Wherever the opponent is, if it's West Coast Baptist, if it's PFW, how they compete, especially with the bigger Big 12 team coming in, whoever they are or were in the past is different. What's their attitude mentality going to be at home after getting a win and starting to get their feet wet and get comfortable?
Well, we'll see it tomorrow. Pre-game at 12:30. See you at the Thomas and Mack at 1. Thanks to Jared back in our studios. Thanks to Nick, to Curtis, to Coach, to the guys. Appreciate it. This is John saying thanks to you for coming out. We'll see you at the Thomas and Mack tomorrow afternoon. Have a great evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.
It's a rivalry spanning over 100 years. Listen tomorrow as Wisconsin takes on Iowa. Kickoff at 1 on 920 The Game, KBAD Las Vegas.